Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Do you ever read a verse of Scripture? Or hear a verse quoted in a message, or even just a line in a verse, or even just a word, and it just grabs you? You just, you've had that happen to you. Something, you read it, or you might have read that 100 times. And then all of a sudden, it just grabs you. You find yourself captivated by it. The Spirit takes the Word, and that's what's happening, is the Spirit has taken the Word and allowed us to really get a hold of it, really enter into it and feed on it. And you just sit there dwelling on it for a minute. Just, you're really amazed by it. Listen to this line right here, okay? Psalm 130, verse 4 says, "But there is forgiveness with thee." Now just let that roll through your mind for a minute. "But there is forgiveness with thee." You know, rarely is forgiveness really found with a sinful human being. A sinful human being will say, "I forgive you." He or she will say that, "I forgive you." But then he never really forgets what was done to him. That's just the way it is with us. It's always still there somewhere in the back of the mind. It never leaves the memory. And it's always ready and waiting for the memory to pull it back up. It's always sitting right there. And as long as that's so, that memory will always taint things. Isn't that right? You want it to be better, but that memory sitting right there just tainting things. This is what it'll say. This is what that memory will recall and say. "You better keep your distance. You better be careful. You better keep your guard up. You remember what happened last time." Well, that's not forgiveness, is it? That's not forgiveness. And that's talking about a sinner who needs forgiveness himself. What struck me about this is sinners who really ought to forgive because of everything that all sinners have done before God, done to each other and done to God. If anybody ought to forgive against an offense, it ought to be an offender. One who needs forgiveness himself. But among an entire world of offenders, I said just a second ago, rarely. The truth is, never. Never has there ever been true, actual, full, complete, total, I mean as though it never happened, forgiveness. Never. But David said in verse 4, "There is forgiveness with thee." I mean forgiveness. There is true, actual, full, complete, total, it never happened, forgiveness with him. Now, does that strike anybody? That just really, I mean, there's forgiveness. True forgiveness. The only one who does not owe forgiveness. Because he's never needed forgiveness. The one who has never one time ever been an offense. Think about that. Not one time has he ever been an offense. But has only by man been offended. That's all he has ever been by mankind, offended. There is forgiveness with him. There's forgiveness. An ocean of meditation and wonder is owed to that thought. That fact, that thought, it deserves a lifetime of just pondering. Just ponder. That's what Selah means. Just dwell on that. Here's the reason why. To forgive is to forget. Really and truly. That's what forgiveness really is. To forgive is to forget. And God's word says there is forgiveness with him. With him. There's forgiveness with him. How's that possible? How's that even possible? Honestly, how is that possible? Look with me at Psalm 14. Psalm 14, verse 2, it says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." He looked down on all the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. That means stinking. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3 says, there is none righteous. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this word says, he sees it all. And he hears it all. And he knows it all. He knows it all. Genesis 6 says, he looked on the imagination of every man's heart. He stared straight into the imagination. You ever go into your imagination? Well, he has too. He's gone into your imagination. Been into the imagination of every man's heart. Our imagination is not good, usually. In Psalm 139, David said, you know every time I sit down. Think about that. That's what David said. You know every time I sit down. You know every time I stand up. You know everywhere I go. He said, you know every word in my mouth. You know every thought in my mind. Not only does he know all of that, Revelation 20 says, all of it is being written down in a book. Not only does he just see it all take place, all of it is being written down in a book. Everything that every soul on this earth has ever done, thought, felt, said, all of it is being written down, and it's going to be brought back up. It's going to be read out loud on the day of judgment. So, how on this earth and how in all of heaven can it be said that there is forgiveness with him? And how can this verse of scripture right here be so? Look with me at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. He said, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord." He said, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I will forgive and I will forget. Is that not wonderful to hear? I will forgive and I will forget. How is that possible with thee? How is that possible? The all-knowing, all-seeing, thrice holy God who must do what's right, how is that even possible with Him? Here's how. Look with me at Luke 23. I wanted to read verses from Matthew and Mark and John, but we'll suffice with just Luke. But it says in Luke 23, verse 1, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation." Can you imagine saying that about him? "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Verse 18, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas." Verse 20, "Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him. Crucify him." That's what they all said. Verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them." And you go read those other gospels, everything they said to him. And he replied with, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." How could the Father do that? How could the Father truly forgive them when to forgive is to forget? How could He ever forget what they did to His Son? And the correct wording is, how could He forget what we did to His Son? Here's how. Verse 44, it says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Into thy hands of judgment. Into thy hands of wrath, into thy hands of punishment, I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. The Father forgave us in Christ His own Son. He forgave us by Christ His own Son. And I circled and I put arrows all the way around this word "away." He took our sins away from us. He took them away from us. He removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. And this is just glorious to me. This is amazing. He removed us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. And he did that by laying them on his son. He took them away from us, removed them from us. He removed everything that was in the mind and everything that was in the mouth. Think about some of the things that have come out of this mouth. He removed everything that was in the mind and everything that was in the mouth, everything that was in the heart, every sinful deed that was in the flesh of his people. He removed all of it. He removed every word that was recorded in the book concerning his people. And he did that by laying it all on his precious son. Christ our Lord took upon himself the mind of us, the mouth of us, the heart of us, the deeds of us, the record of us. You think about it, says in Acts chapter 8, he stood there in his humiliation. He took every single sin away from us. And when he took it from us, we had it no more. I mean, we had it no more. And God looked at him in everything that we were and everything we'd done, and God did not forget. And God did not forgive. And darkness came over all the earth. And the veil of the temple was rent. And Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, cried with a loud voice in a payment of justice, a payment of judgment for everything that we deserved. And then he commended his own spirit to his Father. That was his appeasement. That was his offering of sacrifice. You give everything that's owed. Lash out on my own soul. Lash out on my own spirit. He did that for everything he had taken from us and laid on himself. And then he bowed his head and he died. Now God the Father knows and he sees all of the reality of our sin on Christ and not us. And he dealt with it in Christ and not us. And now when he looks at us concerning sin, there's nothing there to remember. It's not there. Christ took it away. They're all taken away. He didn't deal with them right here. He dealt with them over there, without the camp. He removed them. There's nothing there to remember. When it comes to the records that are kept in heaven, it is recorded. It is written down and recorded that all of the sin of his people was found to be on Christ. That's what the record says. And he was dealt with in Christ, and it was put away forever in Christ. When it comes to our sin, with God, when it comes to our sin, our name is never even brought up. There's no record of it on our name. There's no record of it on our account. And the reason is because it's not there. It's not there. There's no remembrance of it because it wasn't found on us. Don't go back, but David said in the verse before our text, verse 3, he said, "If you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" What he was saying was, Lord, if you found one sin on me, I'd never stand. But thank God, not one sin will be found, because not one sin is still there. Christ took them all. He took all of them. Look with me at Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 2, it says, Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. All of it. All their sin. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. That means quick to forgive. Because there's nothing to remember. No, I don't remember that. Mm-mm. Look with me at Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 2 says, Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth, and that means acknowledges the reality of the condition. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord acknowledge the reality of what he sees to be not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Never happened. It never happened. Do y'all remember about a year ago, 12 or 13 months ago, when Brother Henry Mahan got up that Sunday morning, got in his car, and he came down here to Kingsport, and he preached for us that Sunday morning, and then he took us all to lunch. He bought everybody's lunch afterwards. Y'all remember that? If you could only see your faces right now. Not one soul in this room remembers that. And do you know why? It never happened. The look on all your faces is the look on the faces of glory. Every time the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, tries to bring up one sin against a child of God, don't you remember that? Don't you remember that? No? I don't remember that. Never happened. Everybody here knows what I just said. That never happened. Couldn't happen. Didn't happen. That's our sin. Didn't happen. Jeremiah 50, verse 20, it says, In that day the iniquity of Israel is going to be sought for and is not going to be found because there's not any. It doesn't exist. Christ put it away. It's not there. It never happened. That's amazing. That's amazing. Go back to Psalm 130. Verse 1 says, Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. All of them. Now, let me leave us with this. I want to leave us with something that is very important. Because of that, let me leave us with this. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's precious, isn't it? Let's be forgivers. Let's be forgivers, knowing what God has done for us for Christ's sake. Can you imagine? Just go, you don't even have to go deep into your mind. Just go into what you are and what you've done. And for God to make it just and right to be able to say, that never happened. We can do that, can't we? That never happened. Somebody comes, I'm sorry. Never even happened. There's no other motivation you need than that right there. Think about the joy of forgiveness. Does that, knowing God's forgiveness in Christ, does that not bring joy to you? The joy of forgiveness, the blessing of forgiveness, the sweetness of forgiveness. That's the perfume of heaven. The sweet savor of heaven, that's what it is. That mercy seat of forgiveness. All the forgiveness we've received for Christ's sake, that's the sweet savor of heaven. Let's be forgivers for Christ's sake. If I can honestly say from the depths of my soul that there is forgiveness with thee, oh, may I be able to say there's forgiveness with me. Lord, help me. Make it so. Just like it is for us in salvation, it's the same for us in our life here. There's peace there. There's joy there. There's rest there. There's contentment there. There's happiness there. There's love there. There's unity there. There's goodness there. There's fellowship there. So may God make us to be forgivers. As He's given it to us, may He create it in us. With all the ability He'll give us, this flesh still is weak, but with all the ability that He'll give us, let's, verse 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. There's forgiveness. Wonderful news. All right, let's all stand together.